Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, on this third Sunday of Advent, we travel back about 2,500 years. We join the prophet in Isaiah in a beautiful passage called Isaiah 61. We sit down and soak in these words from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. These words, now heard in the context of the year of our Lord 2020, might evoke in us something new, perhaps longing, hope, joy, disbelief, a combination of feelings, or even none at all. We're too numb to feel anything. Any and all of these feelings are understandable in a year like we've experienced and continue to experience. A few months ago, I saw this advertisement for a t-shirt which had 5 stars and only one of them was filled in. And the words on the t-shirt read, 2020. Now, I'm not the most sarcastic person in the world, but I've got to tell you, I still continue to ask myself whether or not I should buy that shirt. Perhaps at this point, you feel that 1 star is too many. The disruption, instability, fear, anger, poverty, isolation, unrest, addiction, natural disasters, illness, and countless lives lost on a global scale is just too much. It's too much to wrap your minds around, too much to give even 1 star to. You and I can't deny the pain that is in and around us. So we join the psalmist and beg, how long, O Lord? We beg with the prophet in Isaiah, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would quake before you. After all this, Lord, will you hold yourself back? Will you keep silent and punish us forever? When will this end? Like a parched person in the desert, so we long for God's presence. We long for his healing and joy. We are desperate for him. And so we listen to these words from Isaiah with fresh ears. Allow me to paint the setting for you. God's people have been divided into the northern and southern kingdoms, Israel and Judah. Israel has been annihilated, and Judah has been taken captive by Babylon. Many have been exiled to Babylon. The king, the wealthy, the skilled, and only those who are poor and a few others remain to work the fields and vineyards for Babylon and to do their bidding. Everything has been destroyed. The temple has been burned to the ground. The place where God's very presence was said to reside is demolished. Homes are burned. Offices, buildings are completely destroyed. And the city wall has been broken down. It's a wasteland. And after a number of years, the exiles are allowed to return home. But many have built new lives in Babylon. They have constructed homes, businesses. Their families are there. So many decide to stay. But a small number risk everything to come back. And when they come back, they see utter devastation. Everything has been burned and destroyed. Their homes, buildings, wall, temple. Nothing is left. And it's into this setting that the prophet speaks. He has been anointed and given the Spirit to proclaim good news to the poor, to announce the year of the Lord's favor and vengeance on their enemies, to replace their mourning with joy, their despair with a garment of praise. Their ruins will be rebuilt, and the places devastated for generations will be restored. Others will serve them, and others will tend their flocks and be their vine keepers and their field workers. God will make an everlasting covenant with them, and everyone will be able to see that they are blessed by God. What a word of promise! Everything that has been wrong, all the oppression, devastation, and pain will be made right. We want a promise like this too. We want an immediate promise that everything that has been destroyed during this season will be healed, that our sorrow will be turned to joy, that relationships will be set right, and that next year will be the year of the Lord's favor. We are desperate for healing and joy. We long to see physical evidence that God is at work, that large-scale good is happening, that a smile on someone's face means that not only are they doing well, but that good is happening in the world. This longing is a beautiful thing. This longing is a reminder of the world we were created to live in, to thrive in. And it's a reminder of the promise one day to come. This past summer, I was with a cousin of mine, and he was catching me up on everything that was happening in his life. So, of course, he told me about his studies, and he told me about how he was kicking butt and taking names. And then he said something that I've heard many young people say. He said, "I don't ever want to have kids and bring them into this terrible world. If I ever have kids, I think I will adopt." And what he didn't know was that at the time, I was in my first trimester of pregnancy. But I heard these words and remembered when I too wondered them, whether it's good and right to bring babies into this broken world. I remembered when I looked at babies with compassion and thought about the pain that one day they would experience. I thought back to the first time that I instinctively wanted to have children. When my husband and I were at my Grandpa Roland's funeral, my last living grandpa had died. And all I could think was that there is so much death and destruction around me. I want to be a bearer of life. As a small remnant of Judah came back to Jerusalem, it was likely difficult to envision a life of restoration and joy. The landscape looked bleak, but they continued on, trusting in the promise and faithfulness of God to fulfill his word. And some of Isaiah's words came to pass in their lifetimes. 500 years later, a man named Jesus went to his hometown synagogue, stood up to read scripture, was handed the roll of the prophet Isaiah, and read these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he sits down and says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This prophecy of healing and restoration, this promise of joy proclaimed over Judah, is fulfilled in Jesus 500 years later. 500 more years of waiting. Jesus is the one who comes to the poor, the broken, the outcast, the blind, the ones oppressed by sin, and restores them into the family of God. He is the one who welcomes the least likely people, the ones who would naturally hate one another, and calls them his family, his brothers and sisters. He is the one who brings joy when all that is seen is destruction. He is the one that promises that one day all will be made right. He is the one who comes into the cracked and broken places of your life to bring healing and joy. This healing and joy begins in you and me. Like a stone thrown into the pond, it causes a ripple effect. What was once a small stone in your hand now causes a chain reaction that you can't control. One of those chain reactions that we never saw coming came as a result of your faithful giving to the ministry of St. Timothy's. During this extenuating season of shutdowns and unemployment, many of you have continued to generously give. And as a result, not only have we been able to bring on the hoped for and longed for staff to serve St. Timothy's and our community, but we've been able to extend that generosity to our community through fish, to support natural disaster relief, city team, and now a new project called United Against the Poverty Pandemic. The shutdowns to protect health and lives due to COVID-19 have caused a serious problem for families in many fields, especially those in the hospitality, construction services, trade, and support fields. And as a result, many in these fields have been unable to pay their rent. Unfortunately, for many, this has not yet become a problem because of the eviction moratorium. When that moratorium lifts, Santa Clara County is anticipating that 14,600 homes will then be homeless. 14,600 households, which includes 25,000 children. This homeless eventuality is so stark that the city and county are unable to fully address this crisis. It is simply more than the government can do. So the city asked Christian faith leaders to construct a solution so that this imminent homelessness crisis won't be as massive, but that there can be joy and healing. So City Team, Healing Grove Health Center, and a number of other local nonprofit organizations gathered together and put together a plan so that this homelessness crisis won't be so dire. They are now calling on Christians and church communities to prayerfully consider extending generosity to their neighbors, especially those in the critical services, maintaining and increasing employment. And then they've asked us to offer financial gifts to prevent homelessness. These financial gifts will be received by Healing Grove, which will then screen individuals at risk for homelessness due to COVID and disperse monies with thoughtfulness. Because of your continued generosity, St. Timothy's has been able to direct a gift toward this effort. And what a gift it is to be a part of Jesus' proclamation of bringing good news to the poor. What a gift that together we can be agents of healing and joy. Healing and joy, which cannot come at the hands of government or any well-intentioned person, but by those who have been transformed by the love and work of Jesus in their lives. Agents which cause a ripple effect that cannot be contemplated beforehand. A ripple effect that affects our neighbors, our communities, and the world. A ripple effect that gives Jesus glory to the ends of the earth. May we continue to be such a community, such a ripple effect in our community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for fulfilling your promise, fulfilling your word. We pray that you would give us the patience that we need to see your work faithfully come about. We thank you that Jesus came to fulfill that word of joy, that word of release, of healing, of comfort. We pray that we would be able to continue to be a part of the work that your Spirit is doing in the world. We pray for those who are at risk for imminent homelessness and those who are severely struggling. Open our hearts and minds so that we might live in generosity. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your healing and your joy that will cause a ripple effect in us, extending to everyone that we see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.